Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync call for February 22nd in the year 2022. 2-2-2-2-2. Happy Pluto return, everyone, for the United States. That's a great one. I'm your host, Joe McElvain, and those others on the call who are interested in saying their names so that people can associate a voice to the name when they listen to the recording later, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Gord Tischer.
Hi, I'm Theo Butler.
Hi, I'm Borja.
Hi, I'm Chris.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Jason.
I'm Red.
All right, we got a veritable Brady bunch up in here. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Let's take a look in the Ponylang RFC's repo at open pull requests. We're beginning with the auto-generated agenda here for us. We're beginning with Ponylang/RFC's pull request 199. This is entitled Add ANSI Escape Codes. I believe that, yeah, there's been some discussion about this. This actually originally version, the original version of this RFC actually included removing some of the existing functions, but it looks like the most recent commit has changed it so it only adds the new functions for, erasing in display slash line. Adding escape codes for foreground and background colors, 8-bit, 24-bit, alternate screen buffer, enter and leave, bell alert, scroll up, scroll down, so on. So something, that I have not yet seen in this pull request is some detail about how these would be named, or maybe I'm missing it.
Nope, there is not.
Yeah, okay. Great. That would be one piece of feedback that I'll leave here in a moment as a comment on the ticket, that it would be good to include in the RFC the design for what the API for each of these would look like.
If I added just
snippets of Pony code.
If I added a section where it just had the headers of each function with the name, parameters, and return, would that be good?
Yeah, that would be great. That'd be a great way to go.
Okay.
Yeah. At least, yeah, from my perspective, that would definitely show me what I was looking for that I didn't yet find here. And I'll just add a comment expressing that. But anybody else have things they want to talk about with this RFC or other points to discuss?
I haven't. I mean, this was updated pretty recently. So I haven't had a chance to review it yet. So I don't have any at this time. I'm going to open a couple of small formatting changes here while I see them.
Great. So, I thanks for opening the RFC and thanks for removing the removals from the RFC. I think that's helpful just to make it, we can get the new features out there and make it a little bit less controversial in terms of deciding whether things should be removed or not. It makes it a little bit trickier, but this get those features in there faster, I think. Makes sense. If there's nothing else to discuss on this, then we'll move on to the next RFC pull request 198. Remove logger package from the standard library.
We're at ready for a vote.
Ready for vote. Okay. We'll just run through everybody on the call. Feel free to state your thoughts on this if you had an opportunity to look into it. You don't need to worry about being a member of a core team or a committer to vote. We'll take everyone's opinion into account here. We're just curious to hear everyone on the call. What are your thoughts on inclusion or not inclusion of this RFC if you've had a chance to look at it already. I personally am in favor, as I commented on the ticket.
I mean, I wrote the RFC, so I am in favor of it. And I hope Jason is in favor of it, because Jason was the one who suggested this quite some time ago.
Oh, led me to I completely the RFC. Forgot.
Oh, yeah, no, no.
I'm in favor of it.
You opened an issue specifically asking for somebody to do this. And so I did. Okay, it was like
and now Jason hates it
or something. But there you go.
I completely forgot. But yeah, I'm in favor.
Same. I'm also in favor.
I'm also in favor.
I'm guessing
I'm
it'll
in favor of it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm guessing it'll just get reparented into its own repo under Ponylang.
Read the RFC.
That's
I went to all the trouble of writing down those words. Yes. There's your answer. Yes.
Awesome.
Good guess. All right. Any other thoughts people want to state? Sounds like we have pretty good consensus so far. Great. Well, hey, let's go ahead and ratify that then.
Want to do the dance?
Yeah, I'll do the dance.
All right. I will squash and merge.
Dances will be done. Okay. Moving on to RFC's repo, pull request 197, add pony check to the standard library. Let's see. I think, Sean, you've been evaluating this. I think you're already working on a PR for this. This is ready for vote as well.
I'm in
favor. I think there was some discussion about naming happening right before the call began. Do we want to talk about that before we vote?
So when I was going to do the updates that we needed to be for the pony tutorial, I noticed that pony test is spelt with a capital T, right? But it's naming in the standard library in terms of the style guide is as though it was a lowercase t. And pony check perfectly conforms to the naming guide in the standard library because it's a lowercase c. But when you put it right next to pony test, which has an uppercase t, it's just really weird. One way or another, there's going to be a breaking change to pony test in order to resolve something, either the package name or the primitive name, unless we decide to let it slide, but I don't think we should for the violation. And then reasonably, I think that pony check should line up with whatever that is, but I think we can have a separate discussion around that. I think it's independent of moving this into the standard library.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I agree with all that.
In other words, basically, when we did the big mass renaming to hit the style guide, we missed one thing.
I'm sure many things were missed, but this is probably the biggest.
Okay.
Just missed the most widely used package aside from broken.
Yes. So yeah.
Sorry.
Great work.
I distinctly remember multiple ones of us reviewed it to make sure that we didn't miss anything. So there you go.
Yeah, no blame. Now's the time for breaking changes.
Right.
Better now than tomorrow.
Yes, especially as I'm working hard to get us towards 1.0.
Great. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and vote on this going forward. I am personally in favor.
Favor.
I am also in favor.
Same. Also in favor.
I'm in favor.
I am in favor.
I'm in favor as well.
Oh, yes.
All right.
I'm just abstaining.
Okay. Then we'll go ahead and approve this one as well. Thanks, everyone.
Theo, can you do the dance on this one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is one moving on to.
Yeah, 196. Is this the other one that's ready for vote? Yes.
By the way, on the pony check one, real quick, that is not going to be implemented until we fix a issue in Pony C, because currently pony check, I discovered as part of doing this, pony check fails the LLVM IR verification that we do. It actually works, but it still fails the verification. So putting it into the standard library right now until we get that fixed would either cause CI to fail every single time, or we'd have to turn off a very valuable check that we have in CI in order to get it to pass. So not going
to
open that.
And to be clear, it's through no fault of pony checks that it's failing that. It's actually pony C, when given pony check as input, will fail to generate correct LLVM IR. It's still, I guess still gets the job done, but there is a typecasting that's not happening, or it's happening incorrectly. So everything is good in terms of safety and runtime, and pony check library is written correctly. It's just a bug in pony C that needs to be fixed in how we generate LLVM IR. So yeah, moving on to 196, change the standard library pattern for object capabilities. This is ready for vote. I will mention that I recently had some thoughts or insights about patterns for object capabilities that I shared in the Zulip recently. However, that's like a larger set of changes that should be like its own RFC. And I think this one should move forward regardless of whether that other pattern is adopted in the future, even if it would mean like two separate breaking changes. I think this is a nice small incremental change that can move forward now. And the other one is like a deeper conversation that may not even be a good idea when we look at it closer. So I'm still in favor of this RFC, even though with kind of the caveat that I might suggest changing this pattern again in the future. All others that are interested in voting on this, now's a good time.
I'm in favor of it.
Likewise.
Yep, same.
Yeah, I'm in favor of this.
Any great. Against? Nope. All right.
I'm gonna abstain. I don't fully understand how the primitive implementation works, so I'll just take some time to read, but y'all know this far better than I do, so pay no attention.
This RFC was inspired by you, Red.
I know, that's why I mentioned it. It just seemed ironic. I feel bad, and I should.
Yeah, the key thing going on here is we're making it more explicit in the pattern used when you're passing a capability onward to another library. And that was inspired in part by an example that Red posted of, behavior that was not what you might expect by looking at the snippet, where you were accidentally granting more than you wanted maybe to grant to the library you're passing the thing to. So this pattern would make it more explicit, less likely that you accidentally grant more than you'd like to grant. But we can talk about that. Red, if you still don't understand later after you read it, feel free to hit us up and we'll talk through it and make sure that that you're not missing something there.
I think the only thing that I'm like stuck on is that I'm seeing a new create on a primitive, and I haven't seen that before. So it's like, if that said class, then I would understand it. But because it says primitive, I'm kind of tilting my head to one side and I don't really understand it. But I can take that offline.
Yes, this is a... Yeah, this is like it's a separate point that doesn't necessarily relate to the RFC, but yes, I'll go ahead and just throw out the explanation real quick. Yeah. So yeah, primitives are singletons. They only have one instance. It's a stateless singleton with only one instance, but the constructor is how you gain access to that one instance. So you can think about the new create for a primitive, or specifically any new, any constructor for a primitive, which begins with the new keyword, always returns you the same instance of that primitive that everyone else got access to. But you can't gain access to that primitive unless you can call the constructor. And so we use object capabilities in the constructor that to control who can gain access to a primitive they have to be able to fulfill the prerequisites by passing them in as arguments. The arguments are generally unused, but that allows you to control access because it can only be accessed through that constructor, or sort of a faux constructor if you want to look at it that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Like I said, it was just that. It was just that aspect that the primitive and creator, and that makes perfect sense to me. It's effectively a class with one instance. Perfect. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Anyone have thoughts or votes on this RFC? Oh, I guess we already voted on it, right? Yeah. Sorry. Yep. Everyone's approved. We're good to go.
Yep.
Or at least those voted have approved. Okay, so moving on to RFC 174, pull request 174 in the RFC's repo. This one is an old one.
I tagged, Sean added
the label.
Yeah, both this 173 and 174, because I feel like we just kind of dropped them and never carried on with them. And I wanted to see, Joe, if you were still interested in moving forward with something like this.
Yeah, I will say that I think it is it goes with the other one, right? So we could talk about 173 first. 173 is sort of a foundation on which 174 was built in terms of 174 makes a lot more sense if 173 is accepted. So 173 is about, it's kind of two things. One of them is making the member access of the self object or this object required to always be explicit, so that there would no longer be a namespace collision between a local variable that has the same name as a method or field. The method or field would be accessed by always explicitly marking it as you're accessing a member. Currently that's done with this dot. But this RFC proposes to introduce the at symbol as a replacement for this dot that's more concise, because we'd have now, because of the requirement to be explicit, it would need to be in a lot of places where currently not. So this is like kind of break a lot of code that relies on accessing fields or methods by assuming the implicit this dot and making an explicit at symbol there instead. Now I have used this in my own compiler that I've been working on, which is mentioned in the RFC. I still feel like this is a great change. It resolves a pain point with namespace collision. So I have no sort of regrets about writing this RFC or no desire to retract it, but at the same time, I realize that it is far-reaching and potentially controversial in terms of people, you know, just may not like the idea for various reasons and may be justified in doing so. So I still feel like it's a great idea, but I'm not that interested, I guess, in convincing everyone else if the overwhelming consensus is against it, right? That's 173. 174 builds on that a little bit, adds some additional niceties, some conveniences that can help remove boilerplate. That are related to this, at least to a certain degree. Anybody have thoughts on that?
So I just wanted to say the reason why I tagged this was that I think that there are some pain points specifically in these areas, but I wanted to get, and this turns out to be ideal, a decent number of people who write Pony stuff and everything to get a feel for what the appetite for something that would be such a large breaking change which would require every pony, library that's been written, including ones that might work now, but nobody's maintained for, you know, a couple years potentially, to break and require, which would effectively set ecosystem stuff back some. But if we were ever going to do it, it would be now. I wanted to see even if people thought it was a good idea, in general, the problem that it's trying to address. And if it was, if they feel like it's enough of a problem to basically break every bit of pony code in existence.
We could keep old code compiling by just continuing to support this dot syntax, correct?
Well, the other thing, so this RFC doesn't just change this dot to being like an at symbol. It also requires explicit member access is yes. The other sort of point of this RFC.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm not opposed in principle, I guess, to keeping this dot for compatibility reasons, but most people aren't using this dot. They're using implicit member access, which would be removed.
And so for me, Joe, I don't know if I'd want to use the at symbol or something else. For me, this is really about, do we want to require some kind of explicit this, including possibly the one that Sylvan mentions, which is the Python kind of style, which is every method you actually have to provide self.this as a beginning one, right?
Right, you have an explicit receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, generally I am in favor of the idea of having an explicit this. I think it's quite nice. And I definitely don't want to go down the route of supporting both implicit and explicit. That would be, or like implicit while also introducing what's mentioned this RFC. I think we have to choose one or the other. And I'm generally in favor of having it explicit.
What would the FFI call change look like if we add this?
Yeah,
FFI, it mentions a couple of places that the bare functions and FFI calls would need to change.
Yes. Yeah, that's something that it does not prescribe a new syntax for, which should have been in the unresolved questions section. So that's something that would still need to be worked out. If this is something that people find desirable, we just need to figure out what the syntax for FFI calls is. I'm happy to, you know, rewrite the RFC and make those changes. I'm not going to invest a lot more time if it's not something that's desirable in general. So,
I think I'm that in needs favor
to be
worked out. This.
It would need to be some different syntax.
I'm in favor of this as long as the FFI call syntax doesn't become much longer than it is now.
So I think for me, probably the biggest motivation for this RFC is, in my view, trying to tweak the scoping rules that we have now around, not being able to have a function with the same name as a field, or even a parameter with the same name as a field. Which for me is the biggest thing, at least for parameters, especially once you start doing like name arguments, it becomes a pain to in the future rename that field, which is going to be a breaking change for anyone who uses the function. I think I'm leaning towards using this dot because mainly I don't like having like extra symbols. For me, that would be the biggest motivation for going forward with something like this.
Got to be honest with you.
I think the biggest... Go ahead, Red.
So honestly, I guess this dot feels a lot more natural to me because I didn't actually realize that I could do it implicitly. I've always used this dot everywhere because it, when I modeled it in my head, this is in my head is my instance with all of my state. So if I never put that there, I always assumed that I created another instance. So this dot makes sense in my head. So that would be my preference. Obviously, it wouldn't change the FFI syntax, which of course I have a a little bit of investment in.
Yeah, I think in general, getting rid of that implicit access is probably a good idea. There's no other source that I can think of where there's like scoping on variables, like mutable variables and the like. So if we went through with this, even if we required this dot or whatever, then but everything that can mutate is either a local variable in the function or defined in the function, or it's a field of an object, like syntactically.
I think separating, you know, removing the pain point that Borja mentioned of, you know, dancing around with changing, you know, choosing slightly different names and things like that. Removing that pain point by separating the two namespaces, separating the namespace of local variables completely from the namespace of fields and functions is the point, I guess, in main.
So I don't know about the specifics of the, you know, the at or whatever, Joe, or even necessarily how we would go about doing it, but I am interested in moving forward with something around being explicit about this. And I think I think that this RFC would be a good place to start from. Is there anything that you would want to adjust on this before we start having discussion about it?
Well, I mean, it sounds like the at symbol syntax is not necessarily popular, which is, you know, not too surprising in a certain degree. Like, yeah, to me, having to type this dot in every case is like all over the place in like every pony function, or nearly every pony function is like a big friction increase. And so having some kind of symbol there that means this dot to me, like that's why I put these two together in the same RFC, like the switching of implicit to explicit and introducing mm-hmm. a symbol like shorthand, like that's why I tie them together in my mind, because what? Just the added friction of typing this dot everywhere to me is a lot. Maybe others don't see it that way. So that's kind of why they're tied together, but they don't necessarily need to be tied together. If people are happy with this dot and happy with typing it kind of everywhere, then that's one way to approach it.
So would an alternative to that also be if it became taking like an explicit receiver in functions, that you wouldn't have to call it this, you could just call it T or X or whatever you wanted in that case, right? And it could be shorter. Do you feel like that's an alternative to the length thing or no? It has other issues.
If I take an explicit receiver, can I call it at? I mean, probably not, right? It would have to be a variable parameter.
Because that's not a legal variable name, but you could do it as a single letter thing.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't like single letter things most of the time, unless like except for like maybe sometimes I or N, if it's like a number. But to me that doesn't help a lot, because the uniformity of it, right, is something that like if you start seeing that symbol everywhere, like it's in every pony file ever, then like you don't have to wonder what the symbol means. So. I like the consistency of calling it the same thing everywhere, and also not adding the additional friction of having to declare the explicit kind of Python style this name is like I think I would like that even less, in my opinion. That's just me.
So yeah, it's kind of trading one boilerplate for another.
I think it would be good to include some include those as alternatives if they're not already there. I don't know if you updated for those, but I don't know. Would you want comments now, or are there things you would want to tweak first?
I mean, to me, I think that this is the version of the RFC that I like the most, but doesn't necessarily mean that it, that yeah. So I think taking comments or discussion now is a good place to start.
And I would say,
although we are missing, I do need to add an unresolved question point for adding an unresolved question for FFI syntax and how that would change. That was a great point to bring up. And then I'll make sure the alternative section covers the alternatives we talked about.
And could we also have as an alternative, I don't know if it's already there, the possibility of using a symbol, but not using the at one, which I know is very, does have precedence from Ruby, for example, for this, right? But does clash with an existing thing that we already have with the FFI. So maybe something else is an alternative as well for that. Because I think for one thing for me that I'm going to personally do is I'm going to take a pony file of mine, which is a non-tiny size, and I'm going to put this dot everywhere and see how I feel. I think it's, you know, and now to make sure that I fully understand, this would be for any, all of functions and fields, right?
Yeah.
That's okay.
And so go ahead.
And I was going to say, would it be fair to say then we should do discussion around 173 first, and then we can hold off on 174 until there's some dispensation with 173?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, the only reasons people might want to look at 174 is it adds some sweetening to the pot, I think, for having a, for it maybe makes the change in 173 a little bit more attractive, or it might make it make, I don't know. You can take a look at 174 kind of on your own time, those who haven't seen it already, and see, you know, does this kind of push me over the fence in seeing the value of this change? It sounds like a lot of people kind of see the value of the change, but maybe there's disagreement about the syntax used.
So in the chat for this, I provided a link to one of the classes from the GitHub REST API that I'm working on, Joe. And I think it's a wonderful example of, oh dear God, look at all that field in this visualization. And that's a lot of boilerplate. Now, I don't necessarily think that this is the way to solve that, but it is one possible way to solve it. And I do think that looking at that class that I linked to in there, it's the repository class in the GitHub REST API, in case somebody's listening along later. There's a ton of field initialization in there where it goes from like line 92 to 165 for just the parameters being listed, one on each line, and then has to actually do the initialization for each one, where that finishes around line 240. So something to address this, given that basically about the first 240 lines of this class are field and field initialization. I think we probably want something.
Yeah. Just to clarify, like, yeah, to for those listening along, I know you know this, Sean, but like how that would change, right? Like you've got what, like 73 arguments, and that all like they all have the name and the type. So with the RFC in 174, you would no longer have to specify the type for those if you were using that like syntax sugar. So they would get their type from the field, you would also no longer have to do the assignments in the body. So there wouldn't need to be, so like 73 lines get shorter and less complex, and that they don't have the necessity to have the type next to them. And then another 73 lines just go away.
By the way, when I was putting this together with this, these things are all basically strings and whatnot, because, you know, they're coming from the GitHub REST API. I mixed a couple of those up, and it took me about 3 hours to find what I had done.
Yeah.
It was horrid.
Yeah, I think it's a good illustration, like you said, of where this kind of change could be valuable, or something to reduce boilerplate. Yep. That's 174 specifically, trying to reduce boilerplate in field assignment from a parameter. So we'll move forward with that. I'll add those two action items of what I'm going to do to slightly improve the RFC, but I would encourage people to look at it, leave comments about how they currently feel, what kind of syntax alternative they prefer, if they prefer an alternative, and so on. We are at, we're a little bit over the 30-minute mark for this call. We like to have some time dedicated to set aside for people who attend and want to bring special topics. So if anybody here has a special topic they want to cover before we resume our auto-generated agenda, now's a good time to bring that up. Okay, then we will resume the agenda. And let's see, we talked about 174 and 173. Now we have one more RFC repo pull request. This is pull request 154, RFC proposal for filtering Walker handler directories. This is another older one that Sean retagged to ask Andy if he's interested in continuing with this RFC. Oh,
I asked Andy and it got retagged. We could take that off. I forgot that I was going to untag it, but I never did. So, yeah.
Okay. So we'll wait for Andy's response on that. Or yeah. Okay. So that's what we had in the RFC's repo. Let's move on to the PonyC repo pull request 4027. Use symbol table from definition scope when looking up references from default method bodies. So this is a fix that Sean has been working on, and I've been kind of giving advice here and there about. This is relating to two issue tickets about when default methods get inherited from a trait by not being overridden. There's some name lookup weirdness that happens as a result of kind of the internal implementation of the compiler, and Sean's been working on fixes for this.
After like 5 days of banging my head against the wall, it was so simple from the moment that I was like, oh, why don't I X, to having it all working was 20 minutes.
Okay. It was quite a thing. Let's see. Yeah. You've added a new function to ASD.C, get provided simple definition. Checking for it in the local scope first.
Well, no, this function doesn't check for it in the local scope. It's, the idea is that it isn't in the local scope. So we can use this to see if our,
okay,
our parent provide has a provided method body. And if it does, we can find our definition. We can find our definition by looking in the scope that was in.
Okay. So yeah, so this isn't changing the order of passes or anything like we talked about. This is just looking for a body donor, as you put it there on line 190.
That is the term that's used in traits.c. So I reuse the term.
Okay.
It's called cool. Body donor.
There we go.
That's nice.
Does this handle like multiple levels of, let's see. Yeah. If you have a trait that you, it's, if you have a trait that uses another trait.
Yep. Yes, and that's in one of the tests already. That is the regression from 250, 2150, is that. But yes, because this looks in the scope that the body came from.
Yes.
Not any intermediate scopes in between or anything. If we can't find things within the local scope, let's look and see, are we inside of a function or a behavior? If we are, does the function or the behavior have a body donor? If it does, then the symbols that we need will be in the scope from the body donor, which is still in an AST there, where we can just do our regular symbol lookup and we'll find them.
Sounds good. I marked it as approved. It makes sense to me.
This might actually fix three issues.
All
right. Waiting to hear from Brett on that, but I think it fixes three.
Nice. Any other discussion on this one before we move on? All right. We've got pull request 4018 in the PonyC repo. It looks like, let's see.
Yeah, this just
Sean, this is you reopening a branch from Jason.
So last week we merged the ban the ephemerals fix from everything looked good of Jason's, and then I had to revert it because Pony Check was blowing up. So there was definitely some real world usage of stuff which it didn't cover. And it was easiest to revert, push a branch that had the original stuff on it and open a new PR.
Okay, and it looks like Jason's been extending it recently.
Yeah, so it's weird. The cases that it failed on were when we had generics that resulted in like A ISO hat. It seems like that should be legal and supported, even though if you end up in that situation, as is the case with like the Pony Check, it's usually like an API bug. I can't think of a genuine reason for it.
Wait, so is there code in Pony Check which is actually like hat in the code, or
no? It's because one of the iter tools methods required like something like t hat as a generic, mm-hmm. and then it gave back t. But what the Pony Check code needed was that the result, like, it was trying to use ISO hat as t, and it seems like this is not a problem, but it's very weird. And so the library blew up when it tried to reify to like ISO hat. It's not clear if we should just say that like double ephemerals are wrong, or if we should just say that they're the same thing as one ephemeral. But I was planning to change the PR to also support double ephemerals when you reify.
And were you planning to support them by saying it's the same as a single ephemeral?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that would be like what my initial inclination would be, but that's just an inclination and not like a proof, right? So.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to keep rejecting intersections, because there's no reasonable scenario that you're going to do that for. And basically everything is sort of like, it's not necessarily wrong, it's just weird.
Okay, so yeah, we can check in and see where that ends up then.
Yeah, I should have that updated next week. I was wondering if anyone had any thoughts on that that double ephemeral thing. It's just weird.
I should have thoughts, but it's been so long since I looked deeply at either iter tools or Pony Check. So maybe I'll gain some thoughts and comment on this later.
I think Pony Check did need to do what it did, but that was only because the iter tools interface was kind of wonky. I made a PR that we already merged to basically fix the iter tools interface. It's a non-breaking change.
Really?
And it's been merged.
Okay, yep. Cool. I'm a little bit surprised that there was something like that in the InterTools interface that wasn't strictly necessary and wasn't breaking change. But yeah, I mean, you know better than I do at this point.
It's not intuitive, and it's only like nobody makes an iterator that will really exploit the difference.
Uh huh.
But it did just mean that you had to write it a certain way.
Okay.
Okay, so let's take a look now at issue ticket 4025. This is called allow the usage of ISO variables from with condition. Okay, yeah, so Sean and I encountered this last week. while Sean was looking at the width, at refactoring how we implement width, and I was kind of working with him on that. And I noticed that that ISO, you can't use an ISO variable in the width condition, even though it would be safe to do so. And that's true of both the old and the new implementation. Sean spent some time trying to fix it in the new implementation, but it's a little bit more involved than he was willing to go at this point. So there's an issue ticket open for that. If anyone wants to work on it, we can help them understand the work that's needed.
Yeah, what I realized, Joe, was that it's basically a full re-implementation of what I had already done, right? There's no small little way to do it, and it's not just adding another clause. Remember, we thought that we could do the AST inherit, right? But you can't, because AST inherit will only do things which are you can inherit from a parent, but not from a sibling. Definitions, you get consumes from your siblings, but not definitions. And so the choices are either add a special new thing which will do the defines, which feels like being a little too clever, or reworking it so that
it's two layers deep.
So that it's two layers deep. Yes. And I was just too mentally exhausted at that point to deal with the two layers deep. So I opened the issue with the idea that in all likelihood, it's going to be me in 2 to 3 weeks when I'm willing to go back to this, that does that. And that it'll be a non-breaking change as far as user code is concerned. It'll just be a loosening of a restriction, but that the implementation will change through large stretches.
Cool. So Will, I added a comment. Just go ahead.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. I guess one thing about having ISO variables here is that they will always be consumed when you expose them, right? Or not?
So, they go out of scope, right? They go out of scope. And disposing doesn't actually need to consume the variable, interestingly enough. Dispose is an auto-recoverable call. So you don't need to consume to dispose of something, as kind of counterintuitive as that is.
Mm-hmm. So you could still use it like as an expression, like to get this ISO out of the width after you're done with it.
Or... Basically, within the width block, you cannot do anything that would consume the variable, because it needs to still be there by the time for the teardown and the dispose is called on it. So you can't get the ISO variable out of the width block, but it should be safe to do other auto recoverable calls or other, you know, things that, you know, maybe even, it's a let instead of a var, so you can't replace it, but yeah. Other things that don't require consuming the ISO, you should be able to do within the width block. You cannot currently, because it's treated as an alias of the ISO rather than the ISO itself, just due to the implementation of how the sugar is, the scoping issue with that. So yeah, the dispose just needs to happen at the end of the block, which means you can't remove or extract it and get it out of the block, but it has to, you can use it in ways that are non-consuming.
So if you can't consume it, there's no point to being ISO over ref then, is there? Besides just like self-documentation or the like.
Oh, interesting point. You're saying there's no compelling reason why you would make it. Yeah. Huh. Is there any reason?
Well, I mean, you could try to, maybe you want to get a tag reference to it.
You can already do that.
Yeah.
You could also just use annotations for the like, if there's any ambiguity. But ref should always be able to drop down to tag, and if it doesn't, there's a bug.
Yeah, it's always strictly more powerful to use ref in this case, because like you said, you can't turn it into a val, you can't send it to another actor, it's got to stick around unconsumed for the dispose, and so there's nothing you can do. Yeah, you're right. there's nothing you can do in this in the with block by using an ISO. So maybe this is not a, as big of a deal as we thought, but maybe the error message could be improved to just let you know, hey, you should probably use a ref because that's better. I don't know. It's weird because it's something that's strictly safe. It's safe to allow you to do this thing with the ISO, but I think you're right, Jason. There's nothing valuable to do with an ISO you couldn't do with a ref here.
Yeah. Now, the one thing is you might want to drop down any variables that you infer from like ISO to ref. If you ever infer the type, if someone writes ISO, you probably won't want to do that. But because that could happen that someone returns like you clone something or whatever and you get a like foo ISO and now the variable gets inferred incorrectly. And so now you have tag everywhere in the body. That's the only worry.
Yeah, there's no way to specify because we don't have any syntax construct other than just assigning a type to the variable name. We don't have any syntax construct that says, drop to this super type.
Yeah, I would just say that's probably, well, maybe we can add a message on there that maybe the best thing is just to prefer inferring like ref over ISO.
Mm-hmm. That's actually much harder to implement, I think, than what Sean was talking about.
Yeah. Oh yes, much.
Yeah.
But
one thing that you could do is like that's also tied with another thing that maybe I'm bugged about Pony is that you can't consume an expression. So if you were able to consume an expression, you could just simply put a consume in front of whatever the function is returning a disposable. So you don't need to do any downcasting to like to ref or anything. You just put a consume in there and that's it. Like consume ref.
Yeah.
We could also just get way better type inference someday. It's just a lot of work.
It's a tricky problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot entangled. Yeah.
So is the consume like another being able to consume an expression? It's just because of type checking limitations or is it something else?
Well, I think consume is meant for consume is not really meant for like casting. What do you call that? Casting to a super type. Consume is meant for like removing a stable name. And with an expression, it's not clear what stable name you'd be removing. I mean, you're not removing a stable name in that case. So
right, its purpose is really to destroy aliases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no alias for the expression.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be something that's, I mean, either we could abuse consume for that in theory, but like, that's just not really what consume is meant to do. Recover doesn't work if you have things that need to go into it. Yeah. Because you could also abuse recover for this, but then you need all the things that go into that call over everything that goes in the expression needs to be sendable or fresh from within the recover block. So that's not a solve for all the use cases either. Probably the simplest solve would be at the syntactical level, if it's not allowed already in the with block, to allow you to explicitly give a type for those variables that are being declared at the start of the with block. So I could say if what I'm getting is a foo ISO by calling the constructor of foo, and let's say the foo only provides an ISO constructor. I'm creating a new foo and assigning it to a variable called f. It would be nice to do like f colon foo ref to explicitly, cast to the super type without too much syntactical weirdness there.
I added Jason's comment to the issue in question, and I removed help wanted from it and put needs discussion, because I do think we should give it some more thought before anybody puts any work or anything into whatever we would do for this.
Yes, sounds good.
Because at minimum, if we leave it as it is, it still should get a better error message, because the error message is purely, it's not a good error message right now. I mean, it's a fine error message if you're a pony programmer who has knowledge of what the compiler is doing in here, but otherwise it's a shitty error message.
Yep. Okay, we got about 3 minutes left. There's a last call for special topics. The last 3 minutes, otherwise we'll move on to the next ticket. Okay, the next ticket in the list is 4023. Improve libponyc run execution time. So this is the runner that runs kind of our integration tests. Sean, do you have things you want to discuss here in the sync call about that can be discussed in 2 minutes?
No, I think this is a longer one and we should just leave it tagged with it. Gordon, this is a general, the general thought that I introduced in this is that not without the dash dash sequential on the runner, it's basically impossible to read the output because it's all interleaved. So it would be nice to have a single actor which receives all of the output and prints it out in a fashion which is legible to a person, so that it does, you know, hey, this started and this stopped and they're all grouped together. But that creates a problem of if something hangs in the middle of one, how do you know, because you didn't get just the it started output. But I think that coming up with something to address this, and if anybody has any thoughts, please chime in on the ticket and we can talk about it more fully in another meeting. It would be good because as we add more and more of these runner tests, doing them in parallel is going to become more and more important. And at the same time, we need a way to have the output be understandable.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
So I've written a collating actor like this, similarly, like for like a test suite thing where you basically, like the way I did it was you have a sense of, you have an idea, you have a notion of what the current test that's being printed is. The current test will be printed as like all the messages coming from it, like as they come, like on demand. So you would see the started message, for example, and no remaining messages. So you would know that it had hung. And then everything that's not the current test just gets buffered until we're like in between tests, and then we emit everything from other tests that were not the current test at the time and have already finished. And if there's a test that's ongoing, it becomes the new current test. So there's ways to collate the output so they're not interleaved, while still like preserving the ability of a live view of whatever test is determined to be currently running by some heuristic.
And right now all of them have timeouts. Like it's something ridiculous, like 10 minutes or something. But there is a timeout there. So
I will say that the pony test approach, I think, would be fine for this, where, you know, it basically just says I started these 10, right? And then when they finish, it'll say I finished X, and it'll say it started another one where it just, you know, spins up some number of them and does it. That could be fine potentially for this, except for the scenario of it can be really important for these sometimes, not for normal usage, but for some, to get the verbose output. And the verbose output when it's not sequential it's just horrendous, because you have multiple lines from different things with their verbose output being interleaved, and it becomes useless at that point. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the best approach is on this. That's why I opened the ticket to get some discussion going.
Cool. Well, we're at the top of the hour. Thanks everyone for attending, and for those listening along to the recording later. We'll see you next time.